This is Dana Bell, and today I'm speaking with Chef Tom Dickinson. Today is March 11th, 2021. This interview is taking place at Fairfield High School in Fairfield, California. Could you please tell me your name?
Tom Dickinson.
And do you consent to being recorded today?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm originally from Oregon. I grew up in the town of Tillamook. It's known for the cheese factory. I went to high school there. I lived there since I was 5 years old, the year 2000. I moved over to the Willamette Valley. My parents moved over there, so I relocated, and I worked over there. Went to college over there and graduated with an Associate of Applied Science in Culinary Arts from Lynn Benton Community College, and moved to California in 2007, and I've been here ever since. And I worked 10 years for Paradise Valley Estates, and I eventually went and got my teaching credential. I've been volunteering here with the special ed kids here at Fairfield High and Army High as well. Dr. Cushman liked what he saw. He asked me, can I hire you to be our culinary instructor? He said, absolutely. And I went and got my credential, and I've been here ever since, and I love it.
Awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about your hobbies and things that you like to do?
I like to create content online. I've been getting into doing a lot of videos. I have a YouTube channel. I like to collect knives, like kitchen knives, Japanese-style knives. I love to do that. I love to write. I love to go to movies. Haven't been able to do that since COVID, but avid movie lover. Love to spend time with my wife. No usual stuff.
Awesome. So that leads me to my next question. Can you tell me a little bit about your family?
Yes. My dad is a retired mechanic. He lives in Lebanon, Oregon. He and my mom do. And my dad actually has spent his retirement. He rebuilds custom engines for Studebakers. He has a business. He does that. My mom helps him with that business. They live there. I have an older sister. She also lives in Lebanon, Oregon. She helps take care of my parents. And then my parents actually adopted my three younger brothers and my younger sister. So I've lived with a lot of kids in our family. I have 10 nephews. I have three nieces and one grandniece. My nephew Tyler, who's also a chef, has a 14-month-old daughter, and she is a precious little gem.
Can you tell me a little bit about how COVID-19 has affected you and your family?
It's caused us to have a very difference of opinion. My sister and I are very, very adamant about wear your mask, get vaccinated. My father actually won't get the vaccine. He's kind of set in his ways. I respect that. My mom will. The whole COVID situation has caused a lot of arguments. It's caused some division, which it always does. Not all of us agree on the way that COVID has happened. And it's something that we just kind of sweep under the rug, and we don't discuss the politics behind COVID-19.
So how has COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? So it could be school, clubs, church, jobs, etc. Can you speak about how COVID-19 has affected any of the communities you're involved in?
I haven't been to an in-person church service in a year. I went to one, and that was when we were almost in the red tier. Then we went back to purple, so I went to one in a year. I believe we've been having it online. I have watched friends of mine in the hospitality industry lose their businesses. It's heartbreaking when I hear that people might... You know, we're one big happy family in the hospitality industry. When I hear about people that I know and businesses that I know of having to shut their doors because of COVID-19, it just breaks my heart. It's sad. I have classmates from culinary school who've had to shut down their businesses because of COVID-19. Of course, we're doing distance learning here at the school. We haven't been able to talk to students. We haven't had students here. We were supposed to do an event in December. We couldn't do it because of COVID. Don't know when we're going to be able to do another event because of COVID-19, because even though we're advancing in tiers, it's still lingering and there's still new variants and we don't know what's going to happen. We could be in the red tier today and back in the purple tier in 2 months. I don't know. But it's definitely affected everybody. It's affected my industry. A lot of times I feel like I'm teaching a dead profession. And I'm trying to just keep strong and keep doing it. So when the hospitality industry does get back on its feet, I'll be able to send people out there who can work for these businesses who know what they're doing.
So you already mentioned this, how people around you are responding to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to add about that? You talked about your family and their response.
I know people who still believe COVID-19 is a hoax. I've had COVID-19. When I got my vaccination, I had all the symptoms of COVID-19 the very next day. My uncle was in the hospital for 31 days because of COVID-19. Now, a lot of people in my family don't like my uncle. They don't talk to him. I haven't seen him since I was 11 years old. I called him up because I heard that he was in the hospital. He almost died. Makes you think about stuff. But there are still people who don't want to wear masks. There's still people I know personally who think it's a hoax. They're not going to get the vaccine. They don't want to wear masks. And it's like, I tell them, I'd rather stay 6 feet apart than be 6 feet under.
So, have you seen people around you change their opinions day to day, and their activities or relationships in response to the pandemic?
I have. My mom has definitely changed her response about it. My sister has been to be in quarantine twice because of COVID-19. She tested negative, thankfully, but she's had to be in quarantine because of it, and she has changed her opinion on it, and she takes it more seriously, and she even told my dad, she said, I'm going to go get the vaccine. Does that bother you? He's like, oh no, go ahead. So my mom is actually going to go get vaccinated, which just, whew, that's a thank you moment right there, that she wants to be safe. So yeah, but I still know people who think it's a hoax, who think it's not supposed to happen. The biggest thing that people have thought about it, they have told me that, you know, because I'm a teacher, I'm lazy, that I don't want to go into work. I just want to sit around in home and teach in my jammies. I'm here every day. I'm in my kitchen every day. We're all working twice as hard as we were before, trying to get this done. There's nothing lazy about it. Our first priority is to keep our kids safe, and if keeping them safe means not having them here, then that's it.
So self-isolation, flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. So how have you and your family, friends, community responded to this request to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
I self-isolate anyway. I enjoy my quiet time by myself. I wasn't affected that much. I enjoy my peace and quiet. I work in a profession where I'm surrounded by people and I'm at meetings every single day and I see everybody. Self-isolation is a treasure to me, even before the pandemic. So it didn't take a lot to adjust. But sometimes it does, not being able to go on a date with my wife to the movies, stuff, that part sucks. Staying at home and we're each on our phones watching Netflix, that part kind of sucks, but we like to go on dates. We like to go see movies when they come out. It's just one of our things we love to do, and we haven't been able to do it, but that's the only downfall.
Right.
But that's it.
So can you explain a little bit about what your job is? What do you do here?
I am the culinary arts instructor. I'm the executive chef and the culinary arts instructor for the Fairfield High School and the Fairfield Soon Adult School Culinary Arts programs. We have two programs here in our district. We have one for the adult school. We have one here for Fairfield High. Here at Fairfield High, I teach Culinary 1 and Culinary 2. For the adult school, I've taught Culinary 1, Culinary 2, Culinary Fundamentals, and International Cuisine. And most of the time I teach here in the morning, and then I have students come in at night, and I have night classes here to just, because we wanted to provide, you know, the original principal at the adult school, James Woods, we talked about workforce development and creating a workforce place, work training for people who need it. And that's mostly what we're doing. And that's what we're doing with the high school kids, because I'm a firm believer, not everybody's going to go to college. Not everybody wants to. And that's fine. So that's what we're doing here. We're providing a skilled trade, just like auto shop is, just like sports medicine is, just like digital video production is. And we're very proud of that.
So when a student leaves your classroom, they could potentially find a job in the culinary arts?
Yes, they could. Every hour they spend in my class is job training. I have connections with people for wanting jobs. We have industry partners for the culinary arts program. Our industry partners are Paradise Valley Estates here in town. Bernal Cutlery is our industry partner. Also, one of our industry partners is Christian Culinary Academy in Cannon Beach, Oregon. I'm actually going to be sending a student up there for their conference. He's actually going to be interviewing to actually apply to go to the school there. So it's really a great opportunity for them. And it's a small school, and they do a lot of really cool stuff. And Chef Iyer has been a good friend of mine for about 11 years. He and his wife run the school. And just really, really, it's a really great place. Very small, but a very intense program. So anything that I can do to get these guys ready for a program like that, I definitely will do.
What made you decide to do this for a living?
To be a chef?
Yeah. And to work as a teacher?
Well, to be a chef, I've always liked to cook. I've been cooking since I was 7 years old. And one of the things that happened is it was 2002. I went to my dad's high college graduation. He was 59 years old. He was just getting another job so he could train and work until he could retire. And so the Social Security kicked in. He already had his retirement from him working 28, 29 years with the city of Tillamook. And I was sitting out in the audience, and I watched my dad walk across the podium with his cap and gown on. And he went and got his degree. And that's cool. It was a one-year certificate, refrigeration, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. And when we were at the graduation reception, he had all of his kids around. He said, if I can do this at 59, what's stopping you guys? What's your excuse? He challenged every single one of his kids to go to school, to go to college, graduate. I took him up on his challenge. And in 2002, I started my first class at Lynn Benton Community College. And in 2002, I was sitting in the audience watching him walk across the stage to get his diploma. 2005, he was sitting in the audience watching me walk across the stage to get mine, which was great. And it was probably the roughest, most intense, hardest thing I've ever accomplished in my life. And then I worked in the industry after that. At one time I had a side hustle doing some private catering. When I came down here, I just decided, you know, I'd seen what was going on, and I'd seen how people who were disabled were being treated as far as life skills. It's like, something needs to be done about that. So I actually messaged the school district on their Facebook page. I was an employee then. They didn't know who I was. And I messaged them, and I sent a message, hey, I'd love to volunteer and come into your school and work with your special ed kids and teach them how to cook, host cooking classes. I called Rodriguez. They said no. So I thought, okay, I won't hear anything. Then I got a call from Anna Vieira at RMU High School. She said, Chef Tom, we saw your message on Facebook. We'd love to have you as a guest. I said, really? He's like, yeah, that'd be great. So I volunteered with the schools for about 4 years. And then finally what happened is eventually Fairfield High got a hold of me. And they wanted me to come over here and work with them, and I volunteered. And I worked with the special ed kids, and the principals would come in. They'd see what we were doing. They'd see all the stuff that we were cooking. And they got to know me pretty well. They got to know what I was doing. And I totally had their support. And then there came time, there was a situation where I was talking with Dr. Cushman. I told him how I would do something. And then he said to me, can I hire you? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. He said, you'd leave your job in the private sector to come work with me as a work over here as a teacher? I said, absolutely, let's do it. Let's get it done. Because I had seen firsthand how my profession was changing. I had seen how people were taking shortcuts. They were using ready-made stuff, stuff that was already done, trying to make it easier. They weren't taking that pride and that quality and preparing really good food. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to make a positive difference in my profession, and I wanted to train some kids and train them old school. Like, you know, Chef, I need beef broth. There's the bones, there's the vegetables, go make some. It's gonna take you about 8 hours, but get it done. We don't have any mayonnaise or ranch dressing, Chef. There's the herbs, there's the vinegar, there's the hot sauce, there's the mayo, there's the milk, go make some. One of the rules I have in our program is we don't buy mayonnaise, we don't buy salad dressing, we make it ourselves. That's the standard that we have. That's the old school techniques and fundamentals that I want these kids to know. It's not all about heating the microwave on high for 5 minutes. You know, Chef Mike doesn't work here. He doesn't like his buttons pushed. You know, if anybody knows what I mean. Yeah. So,
can you tell me a little bit, can you speak on why the disabled community is so important to you?
Because I'm one of them. When I was 11 years old, I was diagnosed with Asperger syndrome, high functioning autism. I have dealt with this. I've had meltdowns. I have dealt with this my entire life. I've been bullied by teachers because of it. I had a teacher who got so tired of having to deal with me. She took me down to the school health room, threw me inside there, which was the equivalent of a jail cell, and she shut the door and left me down there all day long because she didn't want to deal with me. She thought it would teach me a lesson. I still have never forgotten that day to this day. And one of the things that I have always made sure, and I have a lot of kids who are functional academics and vocational academics in my class, and they asked me, Chef, do you mind having all these kids in your class? I said, no, I do not. I said, nobody gets singled out in my class, and nobody gets turned away. I have a zero exclusion policy in the culinary arts program. If everybody wants a shot, they can get one. They're not all going to get the same work, obviously, but they are all going to get the same opportunity.
So, what concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and on the economy, like broadly speaking?
My biggest concern is the hospitality industry. That all the mom and pop places are going to die off because they don't have the resources to stay afloat. And my biggest fear about employment was, I'm one of those classes that's considered non-essential, along with a lot of the other elected teachers. And they could have very easily, because of COVID, saying, well, we have to make budget cuts because things aren't happening. We're having to cut your programs. And that's the biggest fear I always have.
Is it still a fear of yours right now?
They just spent $2.5 million to build me a new facility. I'm not really afraid about it anymore.
That's exact. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that. Can you tell me a little bit more about, so you take this program, you're starting it, you're building this program, and now there are big things happening for your program. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We started, when I came in 2017, the biggest thing was that we needed to rebuild this program. The teacher who was teaching culinary previously, she's still here. She teaches home economics now. She taught culinary like she teaches home ec class. She's never worked in the restaurant industry, so you know what? I don't hold that against her at all. She tried her best. You know, she's never worked the line. She's never been in a situation on the line where you got 50 diners coming into your dining room. They're all sitting down at the same time, and they're all ordering at the same time, and there's only two line cooks on the line. I have. I've been with it. I've conquered it. I know what to look for. It's been about rebuilding. A lot of the times, people look at the culinary class as their easy A, where people go to pad their GPAs because they can just sit around, they don't have to do anything, they get to eat, and they just get an easy grade. I'm still trying to cancel the culture of that and changing it around. My guys know that my classes work now, that this is not a cooking class, this is a job training course. If you want to learn how to cook at home, take foods and home economics. You want to learn how to cook on the professional level, because that's my style, come to my class. Like today, I just talked to a teacher. She asked me, how are you going to get chili, fajitas, and fry bread all done at the same time in only one class period? I said, because that's what we do in a pro kitchen. We don't stop moving. And it's fun to try to see how many things can we get done at the same time. That's what we do. When I work with my kids, I do like two or three dishes at the same time, because that's how you work on a line. My style of cooking is professional level. It is not learn to cook at home. Actually, when a kid tells me, well, this is how I do it at home, I hate hearing that. I tell them, good, then do it at home. Here, you're going to do it my way, because you do it the chef's way.
Right.
And that's what we do.
So next year, what are some things that they're talking about? There are things that you've been preparing for all year for next year.
We are getting a $2.5 million restaurant installed into our school.
So a restaurant in this school?
Yes.
Can teachers go and eat
there? Teachers can go and eat there. It will be open to staff. The name of the restaurant was originally going to be the Falcon's Nest Cafe. Ooh. But because we have a 6-burner flat top, because we have a humongous grill now, because we have a full-size commercial pizza oven for our line, this restaurant is called the Falcon Grill.
Okay.
And it is a restaurant that's going to be open to staff at first. Because of COVID, we're going to have to go back and start from the beginning and train the kids up, get them ready to work the line. And the way it's going to be structured is the Culinary 1 students are going to be doing more of the entry-level stuff. They're going to be the prep cooks. They're going to be the baker assistants. They're going to work in the dish room. They're going to wait tables at the restaurant. They're going to do a rotation on wait staff. Culinary 2 is going to take the supervisory roles. They're going to work the line. For all the wait staff that are Culinary 1 that are in the dining room, we're going to have a dining room manager who's a Culinary 2 student. For all the guys on the dish crew or washing dishes, we're going to have a Culinary 2 student as a dish room foreman. We're going to have a pantry chef. We're going to have a saucier. We're going to have a grill chef. We're going to have somebody on pizza station. We're going to have a Culinary 2 student on butcher station. They're going to do all the butchering. They're going to cook all the food in the smoker. They're going to take care of all that stuff. We're going to have a pastry chef who's going to do all the bread product for the restaurant. And this restaurant, all the sandwich buns, all the bread for the sandwiches, all the cakes, all the rolls, everything's going to be done from scratch in-house, because that is the standard we want to hold to.
So let me ask you this. Why do kids need to learn to cook? Why is this important?
Life skills. You can't live on top ramen the rest of your life. You can't live on ramen noodles. You can't live on processed food. leads to diabetes, hypertension, obesity. Biggest problem. I deal with diabetes every day. I'm type 2 diabetic. I don't want kids to deal with that. Chefs have terrible diets. We cook all this great food at a restaurant. We go home, we'll eat ramen noodles and a frozen pizza. It was like, oh yeah, I'm going to marry a chef. They're going to cook me great gourmet meals at home. And I just laugh. It's like, no, they're not. They're working 12 hours in a hot, airless kitchen. But it's life skills.
Right.
Even if they decide not to do this as a career, it's job skills. It's showing up on time, working your job, looking your best, making sure you have a clean uniform on, making sure you're putting your best product out, always. It's the one thing I've been doing during COVID, trying with the kids working online. I told them, the restaurants here are putting out perfection, because so people will come back, even though they're doing takeout delivery, and still want to buy their food from them so they can survive. I told them, you guys have to put your best product out no matter what the situation. So some people think I'm a little harsh. Some people think, oh, you're not accepting my work late. No. You put your best product out, you put it up on time, no matter what. Always. So that's the thing.
That makes sense. So I wanted to ask you, how have you adjusted your entire classroom during the pandemic? Because you're cooking, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to teach these kids to cook, but they're at home. We're on distance learning. So how are you adjusting to that?
I don't know how I did it, but I can thank Food Network for that. I really can. And I'm not a big fan of Food Network. I like a couple of their shows. But
can you describe your setup for me?
Well, I have, when COVID first hit, I got a couple tripods. I had my district iPad, my laptop, and my iPhone. And I used those to adjust them around my stove to show the kids what I was cooking. And I brought that same setup here. But I kind of expanded on it a little bit at a time. So I started out with a couple cameras. Then I bought another laptop. I got it on another tablet. I got it on sale. Got a couple clamps on discount on Amazon. I kind of mounted them up. I mounted them up on the rails. Got a couple of these things where I could mount up some lights. And just all of a sudden, it just kind of blew out of proportion. I ended up having two tablets, one iPad, my iPhone, and my laptop. And I had them all set up, and I learned, hey, as long as you have different devices, you can put all these devices on your same Google Meets chat at the same time. So that's what I do. I have a camera over the stove. I have a monitor facing me where I can see if the kids need to ask me a question. I turn the captions on that monitor. I have my iPad facing me so they're facing right down. I have a tablet close up to my cutting board. I call it my plating camera, where the kids can see me plate up the food. They can see me doing the precision knife cuts so they know how to do it. And one of the things I do, I give them cooking labs that to do at home. They have to send me a video showing me how they're doing stuff. One of the things I also do is, hey guys, I'll give you guys a list. If you want to cook along with me on cook days on camera, show everybody, because I invite all the teachers to come and join class, I'll count it as your lab grade. So I've seen them cook on camera. They're watching me cook on camera, and sometimes it's fun and trying to keep it positive, but it feels like I'm doing a cooking show every week. So that's kind of the attitude I have. That's kind of the fun we have. But one thing I do is I also have a cook day assignment. So these big forms, they have to pay attention because I had a lot of assignments not getting turned in. So I have these assignment forms. They even have to list the knives I use. I call all the answers out. So they have to pay attention and type everything in for what I'm doing. Someone's like, well, can we just send us a video? I said, there is no video. Pay attention. See what I'm doing. What if I get hungry? Wait. So I show them the video, and actually we do the video. I do the whole cook day, and we get everything done. They have to pay attention, and they have to fill it out. And if I get to early, we've done early. We go over questions and see what just to see how they did. And then they turned their assignment. And I give them about a week to get it done. And some of them get it done and some of them don't.
Can you tell me what you cooked today?
We cooked this week. The kids, we've been talking about regional American cuisine. And we're talking about the cuisine of Tex-Mex cuisine and American Southwest cuisine. So very Mexican, Spanish, indigenous influences in the food. So we did Texas-style chili. We did fajitas. We did native fry bread. And we just tried to do that, do like two or three dishes. And last week we did Pacific Northwest. We did smoke roasted salmon. We did tempura sushi. And we just had some fun that we did a blackberry gastrique with the salmon. Just a vinegared reduction with blackberries and sugar and ginger and garlic. We reduced it down and put it on top of the salmon. It was delicious. Really, really good. So we tried to do some dishes from each region just so the kids know that these are the flavors that are indigenous to these regions of the country.
What is your favorite part about distance learning?
Getting to get on camera and do the cook days with the kids. I have fun. Some people don't like the fact that I have so much fun doing it, but I do. It's fun. I mean, this year I got a Teacher of the Year nomination for it. And I didn't even know I got a Teacher of the Year nomination. I saw they were doing nominees, like, yeah, I won't get one of them. Mr. Maxwell said, yeah, Chef, I'd like your Teacher of the Year nomination. I was like, what? He's like, yeah. So I looked in there. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Doing something right. Great. Good. That's been my favorite part, just getting to do the cook days, cooking every week. My favorite part is actually help me sharpen my skills in the kitchen, which is awesome.
So can you tell me what your least favorite part is about distance learning?
The lack of kids turning in work. Every teacher's dealing with that right now. I went on rec. I was doing grading last night. I have 79 kids in my program who are failing. 53% of my students aren't passing my program.
What percentage of those students would you say you can't even get a hold of? Like, have they been coming to class?
I have kids who've never shown up all year. They have never showed up all year. It's kind of the culture of elective courses that people think that their courses in my class are optional. They're not. People need elective courses to graduate. Biggest thing, people come to my class, they think it's a skate course. And they come to me at the end of the year, it's like, Chef, how can I raise my grade? And I was like, you should have done the work. I can't help you. You made a choice. Now that choice has a consequence. If I make bad choices, my choices have consequences. And I've made plenty of bad choices in my life. And I've suffered the consequences for it. And I've learned from it. I had one kid who got on me because I wouldn't fix his grades so he could play baseball. It's like, you should have done the work. If you're that dedicated to baseball, you should have known you need to do the work in order to play. I came off as kind of mean, but do the work.
We're coming back to in-person learning after spring break, right?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I just hope they take it slow. I know that we're going to be doing virtual in the morning. We're going to be doing asynchronous with the kids coming back in the afternoon. They're coming to get help. I don't know what the guidelines are going to be for me having kids in the kitchen and cooking food because of this EEC. I heard that we probably won't be able to cook, but the guys' kids will be able to come back into the classroom and get help with their assignments, which is great. I'm happy to do that. It'll be great to see them back, but I just hope we take it slow and we don't end up running before we walk.
So has this experience transformed how you think about friends, family, and community, and in what ways?
I think the most heartbreaking thing is the way people have looked at teachers. we've been kind of villainized. We're the enemy. Back in March, they were so thankful for us to be here and to do what we did. And now, because COVID got real and we're trying to be safe in our work environment, we're trying to keep the kids safe. And it's like, and especially one video I heard online that somebody said that 10% of teachers dying so the kids can be back in school was an acceptable loss. And it just showed me kind of how society is looking at what we do. Not everybody in society, but a lot of people. It was heartbreaking, and a lot of teachers are quitting over it, and they're going to new professions. Personally, in my own opinion, their opinions of what I do is a case of mind over matter. I don't mind because their opinions don't matter. It's not going to stop me from doing what I came here to do, and that is to change my profession and equip these guys who want to go into this industry with the right fundamentals and skills. It's not going to stop me from doing that.
So I want to ask you, can you imagine how your life will be in a year?
No, I can't. I'm just trying to imagine how life's going to be tomorrow.
So what do you hope life will be like next year?
I'm hoping that things will be better. We get some kids in here. That it's somewhat back to normal. I don't think it's going to be all the way back to normal. I think there's still going to be, you know, like I said, the whole COVID thing is very fluid. They're trying to get people vaccinated, but every time we try to get somebody vaccinated, there's a brand new case. You know, trying to get on top of it because we did get behind on it. I don't know. I don't know how life's going to be in a year. I hope it's better. I know that I'm going to be in a brand new building, playing in a brand new restaurant, and getting to serve some great food to some great people who deserve it.
So is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you feel like is important to share?
Just that what we do isn't easy. It's been hard this year, and harder than it's ever been before. It takes a lot of toll, takes a lot of stress, takes a toll on people's mental and physical health. But that, just don't give up. Do what you gotta do. But make sure you take care of you so you can take care of everybody else. That's it.
Thank you so much. I think this is going to be a really important addition to the archives. And so I just appreciate you sharing today.
Cool.